Hey, where you been, Ryan?
Boy, you know where I've been.
You've been
hiding
in the closet.
I've been hiding.
And now look at you.
I know.
Baby steps. You're like, Bob.
It had to be baby steps. My legs had atrophied because I'd been in there so long.
You've what about Bobbed it and you've made it out of the house.
What a good callback, dude. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
I know. It's good. It's a Bill Murray classic.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ryan is in the building.
I am. I'm here.
And we're talking about things that have happened during quarantine. Some fun nerd things.
Yeah.
Because we are
Nerdversation.
Hey, Ryan. It's good to see you out and about.
It's good to be out and about.
Were you nervous coming out of that closet?
Yeah, so nervous. I've been stuck in that closet for weeks. Weeks. Well, we're March 13th is, I think, when my school shut down. So, yeah, dude. Yeah.
You hid under a blanket and then went into a closet.
About 3 months.
And now you've wandered out into the world.
Still haven't showered.
You're in the building.
I am.
You're out in the world.
Yeah. The radio station that's a whole mile from my house.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't make it far.
I almost rode my bike here the other day, but we could do an episode.
You got here and you pulled a Samwise, like, if I take another step, this will be the furthest I've ever been.
Yeah. Ever.
Ever. At least since quarantine.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Right.
It really didn't.
Speaking of Samwise,
I've been out a lot.
That was a good
dude.
Came to me.
Dude, I'm gonna go ahead and pass the segue crown over to Stevie for today because that was a good segue.
Nailing it. So, Josh Gad, voice of Olaf from Frozen,
amongst many, many other hilarious things.
Yeah. What else does he do?
Everything. I'll look up a list. You keep going. I'm gonna look up a list. We've already started this conversation,
anyway,
so fill the people in.
He, during quarantine, started a new YouTube channel where he gets recasts to do a reunion on a Zoom call. And he's done four so far since, I think, like April. Like, he pumps them out like every 2 to 4 weeks. And so far, he's done The Goonies, Back to the Future, Lord of the Rings, and then randomly, I don't know why, but he did Splash.
Splash was a good, it was a big movie, kind of. I mean, it wasn't that level.
It wasn't as big as the other three.
No, it was not.
Like, it doesn't fit with the other three at all. Maybe that's just who we could get. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he has them all on there, and the different actors, yes.
He's going to be in the new Artemis Fowl. Did you ever read that book series? No. It's going to be on Disney Plus. Central Park, the new, from the creators of Bob's Burgers, just came out. But now I'm going to go to actual stuff that you would know. The Angry Birds 1 and 2 movies.
I wouldn't know that.
He's been on Bob's Burgers. Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah.
He's in an episode of South Park. He was on Star Wars Rebels, Beauty and the Beast movie.
Yeah, that's what it was, Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, he played LeFou.
Yeah, Pixels. Do you remember that movie?
He was in Pixels?
He was.
Who was he in Pixels?
He was Adam Sandler's little friend. There was Peter Dinklage and Adam Sandler.
Uh-huh.
And Josh Gad, and then one other guy. He was one of the main...
Well, the other one was the president, which was his friend.
Yeah.
And that was Kevin James.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Josh Gad was the fourth one. He was the other one.
Didn't realize that was him. That must have been, like, pre-Frozen, or at least before I watched
it was,
Frozen.
I think it was, like, a year or two before
Frozen. Because Frozen is really what got him.
Yeah. He was on apparently, he was on the Cleveland show at one point.
I don't know. But anyway.
There you go.
That doesn't matter.
American
He's just
Man.
Hosting it. But he brings them in, and, dude, they're fantastic.
I need to watch them. I haven't seen them yet.
I just watched them all today. They're like a half hour each. Lord of the Rings was 50 minutes. And you know how... It started because I watched Lord of the Rings because, I mean, you know, I'm a big fan.
Dude, I almost started rereading Lord of the Rings during quarantine because...
you would.
I might.
I'm going to do it this year. This year, actually, I haven't read them in a while, but I'm going to read Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And for the first time ever... I'm not audiobooks reading, but then for the first time ever, I'm going to read the Silmarillion.
Ooh.
This is a big one. It's going to be hard.
I can't commit to that.
But I can't call myself a true fan until you've read the Silmarillion. Like, hardcore true fan. Not just like, I'm a big fan. I mean, hardcore.
So my thing about Tolkien's work in general, I love it. It's great. I like it. Fine. Whatever.
He's a genius.
Side note, before I go too far, you're wearing a shirt that I designed with you. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I haven't done
it. Yeah, I asked you to help me and you did.
I forgot all about that until just now. I was like, that looks really familiar. Anyways, it was random off topic. So I love Tolkien's work. It's fantastic. But it's so not only dense, but so specifically worded because he's a linguist.
Dude, he's nuts.
That I almost wish I could read his works like reabridged in modern speak.
I've always thought there's so many old books. For example, Dracula or Frankenstein.
Yeah, any of the
classics. I wish they do it with movies. Why don't they do it with books? They do it with the Bible. Why don't they do it with novels? Somebody rewrite them in our language, you know?
Yeah.
Like, update it. It could be the same thing. It just is more readable.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need a Cliff's Notes version that's like a third as long.
Yeah.
I'll take the time and read it all. I just want to be able to understand and more easily read it.
There's no reason they shouldn't do that. Yeah. It would be very helpful.
I would absolutely reread all of his stuff that I could find.
Because they just use such language that we don't use anymore. And it's hard to follow sometimes. Or there's a word here and there where you're like, I literally have never heard that word.
And I'm not 100% sure that when he wrote it, it was common speak.
Right. I watched the movie Tolkien.
Right.
And first of all, I was really excited for it. But I was a little let down. Only because I was expecting it to be a little more Lord of the Ringsy, like focused on him writing those. And it was on him leading up to writing Lord of the Rings. So basically childhood, college, and everything, the war, up until he just decides to write it. So I guess inspiration for it. But
that makes sense.
Because he had a group of, it was him and three others, had a group of friends, and they all went to school at Oxford together and in high school and stuff together, and that's the fellowship. That's the four hobbits and stuff and all that, whatever. But
the pre-D&D kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. And they were real nerdy and stuff. And apparently Tolkien like flunked out of Oxford his first semester.
Wow.
And it's because he was in the wrong place. He got a full ride scholarship because he was an orphan and stuff. And he flunked out because he was in the wrong major, but then he should have been a language person.
Right.
And then finally he talked to that professor and convinced him to let him come on with another scholarship. And then he excelled majorly. He created the Elvish language when he was like in high school.
Yeah.
Like he'd been doing it all along. And so, according to Tolkien, he did not create Lord of the Rings. I mean, he did not create the Elvish language for Lord of the Rings. He created Lord of the Rings because he had the Elvish language.
Yeah, so
it was backwards.
I read that several times that when he would write a new book or he would create a new series or anything else, he would create a language first and build it. And based on how he felt about the language and the people that spoke it, he would write a story.
Yeah. And like the whole stuff with hobbits and everything, like, that came about because he literally just was sitting there one day and randomly wrote, in a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. And that, so he's like, oh, it's pretty cool. And just went with it. What a crazy person.
Dude,
anyway.
He had to be insane.
Yeah. I don't even remember where I was going with this.
I don't know. But you were talking about Zoom meetings.
Tolkien, yeah, he's crazy. I watched it. Yeah.
So since we're talking about things that we have been doing to entertain ourselves, since I haven't left a closet, and you've only been in your studio.
Dude, I've been out. I haven't like been in quarantine in the slightest.
I haven't either.
Like, Dana has stayed home, and only recently she went to the BMV, and that was the first place she went outside of work since it all began. And she was like, this is so weird, like with still, you know, have to be so far apart, people in masks, there's like the dividers, like glass dividers or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, that's like normal now.
Yeah, I'm just
used to it now.
Yeah, it's not even weird anymore.
She's like, this is weird because she hasn't been out. It's like I've been to grocery stores and I've been out and about
constantly, like, couple times a day.
Like I hear people being like, oh, I haven't been out. And it's like, we have been nothing but out.
But while we're entertaining ourselves, with Zoom meetings, and New Zealanders, Taika Waititi, is doing a Zoom series where he and various other celebrity friends, well, he does a big intro on how he's reading James and the Giant Peach with a bunch of his friends, actually people he's only met maybe one of, and even then it was at a party, so kind of maybe just celebrities. Not all of them are celebrities. They're just people that are willing to do it. It's just like this big, long, like, walk down.
Like, wait, no, it's just going to have him do it.
But yeah, so him and him and people accompanying
he,
him.
He joined the Lord of the Rings cast with this whole thing and asked them some trivia because he's a big fan. And he almost stumped them on one of them, which I immediately knew the answer.
Of course you did.
So I was a little impressed with myself. But the question was, what is the only dialogue in the movies that Legolas and Frodo ever have in the entire series? They only say one thing to each other. And really just one says one and the other one doesn't say anything.
I don't know, dude. It's been that long since I've seen or read them.
And my bow. That's
it. Okay.
That's the only thing he ever says to Frodo.
Wow.
That's it. And they all were like, and then Sean Astin was like, and my, I feel like it was and my something, and my, and somebody goes, Bo, is and my Bo? And that was it. Like, wow. But it took them all a long time to get it.
That's crazy.
And immediately I was like, and my Bo, obviously.
You say that, and I'm like, I remember that scene, but I don't remember that they didn't speak other than that. I guess he was always talking to Gimli or Aragorn or somebody.
Yep. And they were talking about Sean Bean. And how they would give him like lines like that day or the night before. And he just is such a like a slower character person that he just takes a minute and has to absorb stuff. So in the scene with the fellowship at the Council of Elrond, every time they shoot to him and he's about to talk, he has his hand over his eyes and looking down because he has his script written on his knee. But it makes it more just like, oh, it's serious. So when he says, one does not walk into Mordor or whatever, he's like looking down at it and then looks up after he reads it. So he's constantly reading it off his knee.
That's amazing.
It is.
Good thing he died in the first movie.
I know, right? I know. That and the fact that he would like literally hike and climb to wherever they were going to be doing their set because he was afraid of flying in a helicopter.
Dude.
Like he's in full gear. Like climbing mountain faces.
You would think that they could just like have the gear at the top for him.
Well, but he had to like have, you know, makeup and everything. They didn't do it up there. I feel like he'd sweat it off though.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then the Goonies was a really funny one.
So is it just Sean Astin show? Is that what it is?
Right?
Just Josh Gad and Sean Astin?
Twice, and then, yeah. But with the Goonies, they were all on there, and even Cyndi Lauper showed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was funny, but Chunk was on there, and they were all asked, they were like, how is it that the fat kid is now the one that's most in shape? And then they also, he's also the only one who's not an actor now. He's a lawyer.
Oh, really?
And they go, and also I like how the only one who's not an actor looks the most like an actor because he just looked ridiculous and had this huge chair. It was really funny.
That's awesome. Do you have to watch those?
Mm-hmm. And then the Back to the Future, even Steven Spielberg showed up. And
that's awesome. Well, Spielberg and Josh Gad have worked together before, I think, so that makes sense.
And then they had, I mean, they had everybody. It was the Chris Columbus showed up for Goonies, I think it was.
Yeah, that was one of his
since
movies.
He wrote it. And they had a couple of like composers show up and stuff, so...
Dude, speaking of composers, how much did I rant about Masterclass? Or did I even talk about it last episode? I can't remember.
I don't think you did.
Okay, well, Masterclass is amazing. Amazing.
Still haven't checked it out.
It's $180 for the year, which sucks.
And you have to pay for it?
And you have to pay it up front.
$180?
For a year.
That's more than Amazon, and you get free shipping with that.
I know. It's rough. It's rough. So there's like, I don't know, 40 different people on there. Gordon Ramsay has two different classes on there that are different cooking things, and Wolfgang Puck, and a whole bunch of famous chefs and designers. I mean, all over the place. Tom Morello does how to play guitar, how to play electric guitar and find your voice in rock. But Danny Elfman has one on there. which is awesome. And it's how to score for films. And he goes through his process and whatever. And even better than Danny Elfman, which how do you expect that out of me?
John Williams?
No.
Hans Zimmer?
Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
Even I would say even better than John Williams. John Williams is amazing. He is. He is. He is.
Not sure if I agree with that.
John Williams had the fortune of almost exclusively working with Spielberg and Lucas.
I don't think it has anything to do with Spielberg, though, or Lucas.
No.
It's that his theme songs are
amazing.
So iconic.
They are. They absolutely are.
Like, more iconic than anybody else's.
But then I start to argue with that with Hans Zimmer, specifically. Pirates of the Caribbean, dude.
Maybe Hans Zimmer's music overall is better.
That could be.
But John Williams' theme music is better.
Okay.
At least more recognizable.
More, yeah, absolutely that.
He's more really good at making recognizable music. Although Pirates and Gladiator have basically the same theme. Dun, 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 dun.
So, but then he did the Sherlock Holmes movies. He did all of the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. Mm-hmm.
He's good. I'm not saying he's not good.
So good. But he does a class on how to score for a film, and his thing is amazing, which I'm a huge nerd about it anyway, because I was going to go to college for film scoring until I met my wife and didn't anymore. But
so John Williams is a Steven Spielberger and Hans Zimmer is a Christopher Nolaner.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And I love Christopher Nolan, but Spielberg beats him every day. So of course, John Williams beats Hans Zimmer because
for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, so it's really interesting though, because he goes through how to work with directors and how to find your voice and how to write stuff and think about your characters. But the way that he describes stuff is completely bonkers, because basically he tells a story through his music and you don't always hear it. But when you hear him describe why he wrote it, you're like, oh my God, like that's such a weird, deep, cerebral way to look at it. Like Batman, He does one on how he came up with the Batman theme, and it's that bump, and it's just two notes, but it like plays back with all sorts of different backing music throughout the whole series.
It would be, those dudes are nuts. It would be so hard to write all those pieces for every instrument, for all this stuff. And then it'd be hard for the director to basically kind of get across to the composer how you're wanting this to feel,
right,
and getting it just right and how you're thinking.
But that's what's interesting.
That's crazy.
That's what's interesting about the Batman, though, is he fought Christopher Nolan on it, because Christopher Nolan wanted like an epic like hero theme, and Hans Zimmer's like, no, that's not who he is.
Well, and it's a darker movie.
Well, but even
a
dark
subtle movie,
like Danny Elfman's Batman is a dark but heroic theme, the da 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 thing, but he's like, no, that's not who our Batman is. Our Batman is brooding, and he's Arrested Development at like age 7, and he's, you know, that
yeah,
that's who he is. So I can't have a completed thought in my song. It has to go da da, and then it just stops and it repeats, and it can't ever finish the phrase.
Well, I feel like it's so serious and like ominous and gives you a feeling of unease.
Yeah.
The movies without the music, and then that music fits it.
Yeah.
So I feel like if he would have done some sort of like superhero thing, it would have thrown off the look of the movie.
Absolutely. Even. But so anyway, his masterclass, I have watched some of the episodes like 6 or 7 times, dude. It's a cool thing. If you have $180 and there's a handful of people,
I have 180 for that.
Well, go through the list, see if there's any people you like, and if it's really cool and it's worth it if you like those handful of things. Mm-hmm. If that speaks to you, then it's totally worth it. If not, then yeah, it's $180.
I hope Josh Gad does one with the Mummy.
That'd be cool. I mean, I don't know why he ever would.
Because that's such a great movie. Because
who cares about that piece of crap?
Dude, I could go on and on about it. I do go on and on about it.
Do you know how many times Steven has texted me during quarantine to talk about The Mummy? To either say he's watched it or he's going to, or that he's sending
memes. Or my new
idea
that there's no reason that they shouldn't just, or I'll just do it myself, have the equivalent to a Harry Potter weekend that
they
Freeform
almost do.
Used to do.
It's on I all mean, the time.
When Freeform owned it, they legit were like, we now own the rights right now. We're just going to play it nonstop.
Yeah.
Every weekend for no reason at all.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to watch it every weekend.
I didn't.
And I want that for the Mummy.
Harry Potter, there's 8 movies, though. The Mummy, there's only
but
like
the
2 that are watchable.
Than all 8 movies, so.
Because then they're going to start playing Scorpion King, yeah. And they're going to start playing.
You can pass on that.
That's what I mean. They're going to
pass on that one in the new Mummy, and really the third Mummy.
That's what I mean.
You can just really just play the first 2, and that's fine.
And even play the first 1 more than the second one.
Yeah, just like 1-1-2, 1-1-2, 1-1-1-1-2.
Yeah.
Dude, they're so good. I wish I could meet Brendan Fraser and ask him some questions about it.
I read an interview with him not terribly long ago, and it was interesting because he lives on a ranch now, and
good for him.
The whole interview was the guy went and met him, and they didn't talk for the first 20 minutes. He just showed him around his ranch.
I feel like I've seen that interview,
and he
kind of older.
Yeah, it is, but he he talked about this horse that he got and why he got it. Mm-hmm. And he's just sitting there shooting a bow and arrow the whole time during the interview. And he gives it to the interviewer. He's like, no, it's your turn now. And then he just taught him how to shoot a bow. It was weird.
Well, Brendan Fraser seems like he might be a bit of a weird guy. I mean, he seems like he's almost like the Mel Gibson type where he can turn it off, but he's a zany person.
Yeah.
Like all his movies, he is a goof and a zany kind of, let's reel it in type thing. And he's reeling it in for these, even though a little bit's escaping. And then somehow Stephen Sommers was able to reel it in all the way for the Mummy. Cause he wasn't goofy at all in the Mummy.
No.
I mean, he had some funny one-liners here and there, but he wasn't his normal self. He was an action hero,
right?
Adventure hero. He was a Johnny Quest.
I'm glad you went that route and not an Indiana Jones.
He was an Indiana Jones.
How dare you, sir?
Speaking of Indiana Jones, Short Round was on there.
Was he?
Yeah.
Because from the...
They asked him if he liked going down on the Goonies, going down the slide more, or falling from an airplane into...
The water?
Into an inflatable with Harrison Ford more.
Oh, yeah.
And he said only Harrison Ford more because it gave him the opportunity to do the Goonies.
Okay.
So that's a very fence-sitting answer.
Did anyone ask him to do your terrible impression of him?
No, he didn't do that. But he did do the booty trap line. He did do that line because they would read off their lines and go back and forth on some of their stuff. It was awesome.
That's cool, dude. I'll have to watch it. Dude, speaking of fun stuff.
And Gandalf the Gay, they called himself. Gandalf the Gay. I used to be called that once. Now I'm Gandalf the White. And everybody was like, oh, brother. To him.
How old is he now?
Dude, he's so old looking.
Ian McKellen looked old 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. He looked on the verge of death 20 years ago. He looked older than Christopher Lee.
Well, so they talked about Christopher Lee, and they were talking about some memories they had of him, and Peter Jackson was talking about how one of his favorite memories was they were getting ready for lunch and in line, and he was behind, a couple people behind, and he heard him up front talking to someone being like, we had better food on Star Wars. That's fantastic.
Dude, he was in everything.
Dude, 200-plus movies, but a lot of them were bad. A lot. And he didn't talk for most of the Dracula ones, which is a huge... just mistake.
Yeah.
But I guess he didn't like a lot of the dialogue in Dracula, according to Christopher Lee. He thought they were terrible.
Oh.
Yeah. He just did them.
Look, I'm here. I want to look menacing, mm-hmm. and I want a paycheck, so. Right.
And he, for a minute, didn't like Ian McKellen because he wanted to be Gandalf. And he talked to Tolkien about it, and Tolkien said, if they ever did, you can be Gandalf. And so he was like, I always read Lord of the Rings every year. And Tolkien said I could be Gandalf. But then after that, they were like really good friends. But there for a minute, he was like sour about it.
Dude, Christopher Lee's awesome. And I love him.
He would not have made it.
But he could not be Gandalf.
He's too evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything about his being.
Saruman.
Yeah. I can't imagine anybody else being Saruman. Mm-mm. Can you imagine switched around or Ian McKellen Saruman? Terrible.
No, yeah. No.
Terrible.
Like, even as Magneto, like, he's not even that hateable.
No.
Like, you're kind of like, I mean, I give it to him. He's fine. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Kill some people.
I mean, I get why you're doing it. It's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. But yeah, speaking of things we've been doing during quarantine, slip and slides are back in a big way. I don't know if you've seen that. People are buying them everywhere. I bought my kids another one, which we do every summer.
What? Slip and slides?
Yeah, like adults are back into them and whatever. I think it's just because quarantine sucks and it's been hot and pools aren't open. And so people are like, what can I do?
I know. It has been like the hottest late May, early June I can remember.
So
it's blistering out there. It's crazy. It'd be 90 something on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. My son's been mowing the yard. I've been making him do that now.
Is that the first time?
He did it a couple times last year.
Dude, you've arrived.
So
you have arrived.
Okay, but here's the thing is I pay him to do it.
Oh.
But if he doesn't want to do
it,
$10.
$10? Dude, I got gypped when I was a kid. You know, I did so many chores and I mowed. You know how much I made a week?
How much?
$2.50 a week.
Yeah, well, your parents had to save money somewhere because they were not getting Amish cable.
I fed the dog. I put away the dishes. I dusted. I mowed the yard.
Most of those don't count as real chores. I mean, they're chores, but they're not payable chores. Feeding the dog, taking out the trash.
It's still something. Yeah, but we had a long driveway, and I had to take it all the way down there in the middle of the dark as like an elementary kid. It was terrifying. It was worth some money.
Wow.
Dude, I got $2.50. Come on.
Well, inflation.
You do. I got gypped.
I shouldn't pay him $10 because our yard's not that big, but it's whatever. But
Mr. Moneybags over here.
I ask him every week if he wants to. And it's funny because if he wants a new game, there's something specific he wants, he'll either do it or he'll say, can I buy this game? And then I'll owe you so many mows. And then he'll pay.
You'll be a bank to him?
Yeah.
You'll give him a loan?
And he will. And he'll always follow up on those mows. But once he's paid off and he doesn't want anything specifically, he'll just lay in bed. He's like, nah, not today. And I'm like, okay, I'll save $10. I don't care.
Yeah, right.
It takes him like an hour to mow my yard. I can mow my yard in 25 minutes, dude. So it's not really that big of a deal
to
me.
I mow mine in 15.
Yeah.
It's real time. I got no yard.
Yeah. Well, you've got a huge pool. So
I don't have it. My backyard is concrete and water.
Yeah.
So I got to move so bad.
Move to Kokomo.
Get out of there.
Move to Kokomo.
I don't want to move in any city. I don't want to move out in the country.
We got stuff here.
I want to be away from all civilization.
Well, I mean, Kokomo's got plenty of country around it. Move to Howard County. How about that specifically?
One thing I'm going to miss, the only thing I'm going to miss about living in city limits, library card. I'm going to miss that.
You can get a library card.
But you have to pay for it once you live outside the city.
Not in Howard County.
Not free.
Because it's the Howard County Public Library.
I know, but you have to be inside city limits to get a library card. You have to be residing in it. I mean, if you're like on the line but not in it, you don't get it.
I don't think that works that way in K. In the Kokomo Howard, dude.
Unless it's a county line, then
I'm pretty sure it's a county line because
maybe that would make
and
sense.
And also, I think it is if you work
you
here.
Yeah, Marion Public Library, Kokomo Public, and then Howard County Public.
Okay. Yeah,
that maybe you're right there.
And I think that if you,
but most places don't have a county library.
Well, ours is integrated. All three libraries are technically Howard County.
Mm.
It's actually, it's KHCPL. It's Kokomo Howard County Public Library. They're a merged entity.
Well, I hope that's true because.
And I think.
Like, my parents can't get in on the Muncie one.
That's lame.
Because they're like, and they're like literally 2 minutes from Meyer.
Yeah.
Which is in the city.
Yeah, that's Muncie. Well, they're, I think also if you work in Kokomo, you can get a special kind of library card to go to our library.
I feel like that should be more of a thing. Not where you live, but where you work.
Yeah.
Like, I should be able to get a Kokomo one now.
I think
even
you can.
I don't live here.
I think you can because you work here. I think there's a temporary one. or a specialty one you can get.
Your library is a whole lot bigger than mine with a whole lot better selection.
Well, and we have three of them.
Yeah.
So
I should look into that.
You should.
Be members of all libraries. I love the library, Ryan. Magical place.
Every time I think about the library, I want to say, my library card! Because, now you wait, because Macaulay Culkin in like 95 came out with a movie called The Pagemaster.
The Pagemaster. I own that movie.
I used to have the VHS. I don't anymore. And they also had a spin-off game of it. And I used to play that game and watch that movie. And that
they did have a game.
That was
played it.
It's one of his catchphrases. Whenever you died, he would say, my library.
Dude, he did some interesting movies as a kid.
Yeah. Well, that the segue, of course, which I'm just making up now, but it works, is he was in a movie with Elijah Wood, speaking of Lord of the Rings, called The Good Son, which I think I've talked about here before, which was great.
Speaking of Macaulay Culkin, isn't he doing another Home Alone movie?
I have no idea.
Like, I feel like I read that somewhere recently.
If he is, then it should either be a comedy where it's like quarantine-based, which would be funny.
I don't think it's a Home Alone, but it's like something involving something like that.
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up while you talk.
I'm not going to talk. I'm going to sit here in silence.
How do you spell Macaulay?
M-A-C-A-U.
Oh, wait, no, that's Machine Gun Kelly.
I think it's M-A-C-A-U-L-E-Y.
Oh, there it is. Macaulay Culkin, new Home Alone movie.
I don't know, dude.
Let's see. Macaulay Culkin reportedly set to appear in Home Alone reboot. That's what it is.
I wonder if he's going to be one of the wet bandits because of how he looks now.
Dude,
him and Joe Pesci.
And then the sticky bandits.
And
then the muddy bandits.
So
we need better names.
I think that it should be Macaulay Culkin and Joe Pesci. And if they want to get Daniel Stern, that's cool. Because I like Daniel Stern.
I was going to say, Daniel Stern was the funny one.
Well, yeah, but Joe Pesci is Joe Pesci, and so he needs to be in there, especially if he's an old man.
Dude, he's so old. I don't know if Joe Pesci would do stuff like that anymore. He doesn't really act anymore.
No. But...
And honestly, it's kind of weird that he even did Home Alone at all. Like, if you've ever watched any, like, real-life stuff about Joe Pesci, he's kind of a criminal. His acting in Goodfellas was kind of real.
Yeah.
That's kind of who he is.
Yeah, but I think that he was trying to get away from that image, not because he wanted to get away, but because he didn't want people to look at him like that.
He's not very nice.
Well, he was, he kind of eased into that with Leo Getz, because what Leo wants, Leo gets.
Okay. That's his best role.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon.
Well, dude, you're
three and four.
Yeah. I knew that you'd know because you're Stevie Riggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I named myself after Martin Riggs.
Well, and see, the funny thing is Big John Murtaugh is also on Rock. And then when I worked at the station and we were doing my demo tapes and whatever to show, if our horrible boss at the time was going to let me have a show, I was going to be Ryan Getz.
Dude, how fun would that be?
Because that's the best.
If anyone noticed, I don't think anyone's noticed the Murtaugh-Riggs connection.
That would have been.
Maybe they will now.
And then we could have switched some of the Rock programming background music to Lethal Weapon music.
Right. And we have special guests on that can always be a McAllister of some kind.
I'm just saying, it was a good plan. Mm-hmm. Never went through. Mm-hmm. My radio show would have been full of weird trivia.
Yeah.
By the way, that was the whole thing.
Good stuff. Anyway,
I don't know if it was good.
I mean, we're not going to really talk about it because we got to go. But I did tell you. How do you feel about it, Ryan Gosling, Wolfman? First of all, I'm glad that they're starting to do them.
Yeah, again. Absolutely.
I don't think it's going to be under any, like, dark universe thing.
That's okay.
Like it was.
It doesn't have to be.
No. But I think they're going to just start making them separately instead of, like... Honestly, they should just do it secretly as a universe, but not tell anybody, just in case.
Yeah.
And then start putting them together.
Yeah, depending on how well they do. Gosh. So,
But yeah, Ryan Gosling as what's his name? What's his name in Wolfman? Talbert. Something Talbert. Keep going.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I think that he's a good actor, and I think that he could do a good job. It's just going to be weird because he's such a pretty boy in the way that he looks. That,
but maybe that's the point.
When I picture Wolfman, I picture someone who already looks Hugh Jackman-esque anyway, like Wolverine Hugh Jackman, where they've got like a big beard and they're kind of grizzly, gruff looking anyway. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Gosling, I don't know if Ryan Gosling can grow a beard, much less one that looks like that.
Well, he can grow a beard because he did in, was that him? That might not have been him. I'm thinking of a different movie. I'm thinking of Ryan Reynolds.
See, Ryan Gosling was in the new Blade Runner movie and was fine in it. Yeah. He was a reasonable actor. He did not have a beard.
He grows like that short,
stubble.
Yeah, what you've got.
Yeah,
that's basically what he grows.
Yeah, which is not Wolfman-esque.
But if you let it go, in the original Wolfman, he was clean shaven.
I know, but in my mind, he's not.
He should be rough.
He should look like Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
What's his name? Del Toro. Benicio Del Toro. Yeah. He was clean shaven in Wolfman.
He was, but Benicio looks kind of feral. He doesn't look like a pretty boy.
He looks like he's been punched a few times in the face.
And so he totally fits that. Whereas Ryan Gosling is pretty boy.
They are going with a whole different route and different... Because, Invisible Man, did you watch it yet?
No.
You got to watch it.
I need to.
It's great, but it's a whole different feel and take on Invisible Man. And I love where they left it off. You've got to watch it so you know what the ending is.
I will.
I'm not going to give it away because it's like, ooh, exciting.
Like I said, though, I think that he's a good actor, so I think it could be good. Uh-huh. However, if they're going to do those things, they don't need, and I think I may have mentioned this before, and I don't know if it was on air or not on air, but if they're going to do those things, don't make it the Dark Universe, which I know is what you want.
I didn't say that.
It is. You want the Dark Universe to happen.
But so, I don't want it to happen all at once. I want the Marvel
Iron Man piece by piece.
Yeah, like I want it to last 9 years.
And that's
15
fine.
Years.
That's fantastic, but I don't want it to be Dark Universe. I want it to be the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh.
Piece by piece build that and then do your team up movies.
Yeah.
I want an Alan.
To fight other evil monsters.
Yep. I want an Alan Quartermain movie. I want a Baron von Zemo. Is that his name?
They should just redo that movie.
Yeah.
And bring back.
No, Sean Connery is not Alan Quartermain. Do not even say that.
Bring back Sean. Dude, he's so out of his mind at this point.
He's so old.
But speaking of him in Lord of the Rings, they asked him to be in Lord of the Rings.
Sean Connery?
Yeah. He didn't understand it. So he didn't do it.
Yeah, I believe that. You know who's old enough to look Sean Connery-esque and action-y enough, even though he can't really do it anymore, but could?
Mel Gibson.
Nope. Harrison Ford. He would be a good Alan Quartermain.
Mm-hmm. And Mel Gibson.
I mean, he probably could.
Yeah?
He probably could. Yeah? Bruce Willis.
I could see Bruce Willis.
I'm just saying.
Doing something.
I'm just saying.
Maybe not him.
No. The Invisible Man could be Benicio Del Toro.
I could see Bruce Willis being Invisible Man.
Could be.
Like, brute, but also invisible.
Dr. Jekyll would have to be somebody crazy. Who's crazy? Dude, Steve Buscemi could be Dr. Jekyll.
Dude, he would be perfect too because he's so small and gangly.
Yeah.
And then he blows up into this beast.
Yeah.
You're right.
I'm just saying.
I could totally see him.
Just saying.
Yeah, dude. And he's such a good actor.
Patent pending. Let's just... what's the day?
We haven't done one of those in a while.
I know. I wanted to bring it back.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We're going to end it there.
Yep.
So, hey, if you're listening to this, you found us. But if you just stumbled upon it and you would like more, you can go many places.
There's lots more.
iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio app or something like that. Just Google it. Google
Facebook
Nerdversation, or you can go to our website, which actually has every single episode,
even the oldies, even our bad ones.
Yeah, the nerdversation.blogspot.com.
Yep,
the Nerdversation.
Correct. The Rock 98.5.
Yeah, rock985.com.
We are a lot of places.
Facebook, like our Facebook page. I post, you know, our Facebook page does not get near enough credit. We do not have near enough followers for the amount of good content I'm putting on.
I know. And it is you specifically, because yeah. I have not been on Facebook in years.
Some good, entertaining things. And I even do watch parties where I play Dracula, the Satanic Rites of Dracula today on our Facebook page. Christopher Lee.
I need to start checking it more so that I can be part of these parties.
Like, I want to go watch that yeah. now. I do. So, like our page. We have 118 people. Feel like it should be more by this point. It's been 4 years.
Yeah. Well, we took a
break. Year-long breaks.
Yeah, we took a couple breaks. A
couple of year-long breaks.
There was a time, though, where we had 300 or 400 listens an episode. So, I don't know.
From multiple countries.
That's true. We did have multiple.
We were internationally known.
We were.
In China, specifically.
There were a couple others. There was Brazil and Iran and a couple other places. Yeah. But
yeah, military guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Well, sayonara.
What? We're Nerdversation.